Isaiah 48, if you would open your Bibles to that chapter. We are flying through Isaiah like warp speed through Isaiah. There's, a herd of turtles is what Greta says. There will be one day when you guys are going to be sad that I'm going to say, turn to another book, and y'all are going to be like, do y'all remember when it took us 10 years to go through Isaiah? Those are the good old days. I'll tell you, I pray that it has been convicting and challenging, and that the Lord's done a work in your life through this journey in Isaiah. So I do want to encourage you. I know Rick said Zoom Bible study Wednesday at 6. But there's a little bit more to it than that. Ryan Pickwick is going to be teaching starting this month. And he's a young man that we are supporting him and his family. They're in Turkey serving as missionaries. And so he'll be teaching us. And I think it'll be, if I'm right about the time, it'll be 2:00 in the morning for him, for us. And I don't want you to miss it, because Ryan's a young man. The Lord is using him and his family greatly. And last year he taught last year for, and it was wonderful. It was very encouraging and challenging. If you're not hooked up with us for Zoom for Wednesday night, I want you to be able to participate. Please see Beth. I know many of y'all have shared with me that last month Bill Tinker with Genesis has been one. It was all good, but the last 2 weeks was awesome. So we're now going into Ryan's teaching, and I don't want you to miss it. I want you to be there. So if you are interested, make sure you let Beth know and have your email address, and we can send you an invitation. So let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us. Lord, we come to You this morning confessing openly how desperate we need You. And Father, the truth is, we don't even know how much we need You. Lord, we are exiles of heaven. And we are in Babylon, and we like it. And in a lot of ways, we want more of it. And our flesh craves comfort and ease. Lord, forgive us that we don't love You more and more and more. Forgive us when we pursue and chase and run after other things. And Father, that we are not as responsible as we need to before You. Lord, please help us today. Lord, You are the Creator. You're the Sustainer. You spoke all things into existence. There's not one molecule in the universe that is outside of Your control. So, Lord, what we're asking You to do is nothing for You. But, Lord, our request this morning is, please, God, please do not leave us to ourselves, to our own opinions, to our own thoughts, Lord, to our own emotions and feelings. Lord, please, Lord, grant repentance to us. And help us, Lord, to love You most. Thank You for this morning. Thank You for this chapter, for Your Word, for Your Spirit. Do the work that most honors You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, Isaiah 48. If you have an outline, if you're keeping up, why does our Father put up with us? Have you ever asked that question? Lord, why do You put up with me? Why don't You squash me like a bug? Why are You so patient? Well, today, this morning, if you don't already know the answer, you will know the answer. And if you do, you will have a deeper appreciation of this. I'm going to ask a question, and I want you to hold your answer. I don't want anybody to spout out something and me have to say, no, that's wrong. Okay? So no horse shacks, okay? Just hold your answer. The young people are going, what's a horse shack? What is the most important matter in all the universe? I'm going to let you sit and ponder that thought just for a second or two. Some people will say our environment is the most important thing, and that is important. It is a matter that we need to, because God has given, if you take the biblical account of Genesis, God has given us dominion over the earth, and He is going to hold us accountable for what we do with what He gives us. By the way, speaking of that, if you did not listen to last week's sermon on money, that's a part of all of this. You need to listen to it. That money matters. And so you can go back and listen to that message. And the young people in our congregation, young families, they need to listen to what to do with their money and how to honor God with their finances. So our environment, number two, some people might say for helping animals. And that is important too, because we are in charge of that also. And some people might say the human soul is the most important. Human beings and the human soul is the most important thing. And all of these, in some ways or another, though they are not equal by any means, even those that I've already listed, there is a priority list. All of these, in some ways, are good answers, but they are not the most important thing. The most important issue in all of the universe is the supreme holiness of our Lord. More important than the human soul, more important than really, if I can say this, every and all human souls that's ever existed in all of history, God's holiness is more important than that. More important than if we combine all the human souls and all of creation and the universe together. And I believe John Piper is absolutely correct in this one statement, and it is a profound truth that our Lord is absolutely, positively most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. That statement is profoundly true. When you find your most satisfying points in life, God is in Him, in Christ, God is most glorified. I'm going to read just a couple of verses to you. You can turn if you like, or you can wait in Isaiah, because we're going to be right back. It's verses that you are familiar with, extremely familiar with. One is John the Baptist, when he announced who Christ was and pointed out who Christ was, and people were saying, you know, are you the Christ? Are you the one we're waiting for? And he said, no, I'm not. I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals, is what John the Baptist said. And this is what, I mean, you need to think of who said this. John the Baptist said this about himself, which if he's right about this, what does it mean for us? He must increase, but I must decrease. That's true. We think of ourselves as way more important, and we keep to our opinions. We hold to our opinions way more than we should. Later in the book of John, this was right after the triumphal entry. This was right before our Lord washed the disciples' feet in the upper room the night before he was betrayed. And Jesus said, If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This concept of our Father, our Heavenly Father, who saves His children, who redeems His children, who brings His children in for His name's sake, is a principle of Scripture that is plainly taught throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible. But in this chapter that we're going to look at today, in chapter 48, you will see it clearly. That God redeems His people. He redeems you and I, believe it or not. Even though I know some of you guys. He reached down to the bottom of the barrel to get some of us. Amen? I mean, He did. That's just the truth. And He reached down and got us and uses and redeemed us for His glory, for His name's sake, for Him. Not for you. Now, do we benefit? Absolutely. But it's not for our glory, it's for His glory. And this chapter, chapter 48, clearly, clearly magnifies that and shows that. For His name. And you know, when you read that for His name, you could substitute that for His glory. That's when you look at the construction of the language, that's really what they're saying. It's for the Lord's glory. I do this for my glory, is what Scripture says over and over and over. And if you got the outline, I listed, I don't know, 15 or 20 verses in there to give you an example. And guys, can I tell you this? This is the honest truth. I could have listed 150 verses. This is just a skimming of those things, one verses that I thought, yeah, I'll use this, but that's for you to take and look at. But I want to give you one example of what I'm referring to. And it's an example that I have in here of a verse that, well, I hope everybody in here knows very well. And you might know it so well that you go through it and don't really, it doesn't hit you as it should, but hopefully this morning it will. But it's in Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, "Restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for what? His name's sake." So he restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen? That's glorious. So he does this work of working grace and mercy and bringing us to him and this redemption and regeneration and all these things. He does this for his name, for his glory. That should give all believers, we should all be encouraged. We can stop right now, right? Let's go home. Especially after last week's sermon, as long as it was. I owe y'all time. For his name's sake. And you know what's so amazing? And I know you guys, I talk to y'all. We talk about this constantly. What's so amazing about this glorious truth that he does this work in our lives, for his glory? What's so amazing about this is despite our disobedience, despite our stubbornness, and listen, some of you guys have hard heads, and we're going to talk about it in this chapter. It talks about foreheads made of bronze. You know what that means? That's translated in deep Hebrew, hard-headed. Okay? And you know, just so y'all know, look around. We're a motley crew. I believe that birds of the feather flock together. So I'm not excluding myself, okay? But this is the deal. God does this work even with us being so stiff-necked. Even with us saying, "I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it this way." God is gracious to us. And you know what it reminds me of? It's the truth. Regardless of whether my children or your children rebel, disobey, walk away, a righteous, godly father walks and does what's right anyways. He's going to do what's right, period. Regardless, whatever, it doesn't, what their kids do or don't do, a godly father does what's right. So rebellious children don't change a righteous, godly father. And that's what we see in this chapter. God saying, "I know you. I even can tell you what you're going to do." He says it in this. Because you have to remember, the Babylonians hadn't come and taken over yet. They haven't come and into world power. They haven't taken them off to exile yet. This is pre-Babylonian. And so God is saying, listen, not only are you going to go into exile, a lot of you are going to like it. You're going to like the lifestyle of the rich and famous. You're going to like living with the Kardashians. You're going to like that junk. And he's saying, but I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to discipline you. I'm not going to let you just go on with foolishness in your life. I'm going to take care of it. So rebellious children do not stop a godly, righteous father. So let's dive in. Let's get into it. And let's see what the Lord is going to do in our hearts. So verse 1 through 5 is the first point. And it's really simple. God's children are disobedient. They're stubborn. Amen? Listen, if you would disqualify people from different things because of disobedient children, God, we would have to discipline God. Because look at y'all. Right? All right. Some of y'all are real quiet. I do think that's a standard, but that's another subject on another day. His children are stubborn. Let's look at this. Verse 1 through 5. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by my name, by the name of Israel, and have come forth from the wellspring of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. For they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly, I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow was bronze. Even from the beginning, I have declared it to you before it came to pass. I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved image, and my molded image have commanded them. Listen, there's so much in this. In these first five verses, we could spend the rest of the morning and still not get it. The Lord calls a family meeting here. And he does it really in hopes that they would listen. How many dads ever felt like that? Let's call family meeting. I mean, I can't tell you how many family meetings that I've called in my home to sit and talk with my children and think, Lord, please help them get it. And he's doing this. He's calling a family meeting in hopes that they will listen to him and listen, and that they will say, because he doesn't say, I'm going to pull you out of this. He's saying, no, you're going through this. But I want you to remember these promises. You have to remember, we just got out of chapter 47. And so he's saying, remember these promises, rely on them, that you won't be moved. You will stand strong and against the temptations that you're going to find in the Babylonian captivity. I cannot help but think that Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego knew chapter 48 of Isaiah. I can't, that they sat there and said, we're going to stand through this. Now, there were other faithfuls. It wasn't just those four young men. There were other faithfuls in the captivity. But I can't help that they knew and they thought through this. And so the father calls the whole family together, and it's real interesting when he says the house of Jacob, which you know, Jacob, God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and he's talking about the whole tribe of Israel, of Jacob, all 12 tribes. But it's funny how he says, and it's basically saying, and you too, Judah. Because I know some of you dads will get this. But sometimes when you call a family meeting, you're really addressing one issue with one child. And you have another child that's sitting over there going, yeah, I know why we're in this meeting. It's because, you know, this joker. But they don't see the wickedness in their own heart. And so it's almost like the father is saying, listen, hey, Judah, you too. You're not righteous here. Stop acting like this. This is all of us together. And I'm going to tell you, and I know I probably shouldn't say that, but there are times that I look at my children and I look at them in the eyes and I say, you guys are all Griffins. We all got the same sin junk going on. None of you guys are exempt. We're dealing with this. And Judah, you too. Don't think just because you think you're the best, you too. And so this is the picture, the imagery that that's happening. And he knows they're going to be obstinate. He's saying, listen, I'm calling this meeting and I know y'all aren't going to listen to me. You know why? Because you're hard-headed. You have a brow of bronze. You're not, I'm telling you this and I'm going to tell you this, but I know you're not listening. How many conversations do you think God has had with us like that? No, I'm serious. Your Heavenly Father sitting with you going, okay, Griffin, I'm going to tell you this, but I know you're not listening. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be patient, and we're going to get into this, and I'm going to discipline you, and I'm going to correct you, and I'm going to do this because I'm a good dad, and I love you, but I know you are hard-headed, and you have to learn the hard way. Everybody in this room, raise their hand. Everybody. Owen, raise your hand. All right? You just admitted that. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, my children are stubborn. Right? That's how it is. And so he is saying, you're obstinate. You're not going to believe this. I'm telling you this is how it's going to be. And y'all aren't going to live up to the covenant. He goes, you can speak with your mouth. You can say all the right words. How many times has your kids, listen, your kids from a young age, before they could speak, they are master manipulators. You hear me? And they can tell you what they want you to hear. And they can also tell you, and hurt you in ways that I tell everybody all the time, I have one feeling, and man, my kids can stomp on it like crazy. Because they know. They know the buttons to push. And listen, kids and older kids, don't act like you don't know how to push your parents' buttons. And it's evil and it's wrong. And you're manipulating because of your own opinions and because of what you want. And we do the same thing to God, right? You guys, we do that. And He says, you're not going to listen and you're going to do this and you're not going to live up to your covenant and you're going to say all the right words, but your heart's not there. You're going to say you're from, this is your home, and I'm from the city, the holy city, and I miss the holy city, I miss Jerusalem. But the truth is, you don't. You like Babylon. And you know what my fear is for you guys? I'm going to say this because I am worried about America, but hear me in enough. Let's put America aside. Let's put all of this. Do you know what I'm most concerned about? What I worry about the most outside of my children? I want my children to know Jesus and love Jesus more than they love anything in life. That is my major concern. But outside of that, do you know what I'm concerned about? That we at New Hope love Babylon more than we love Christ. Welcome to Babylon. The ease, the comfort, the wealth, the teachings. You guys, this is where you live in Babylon. And are you going to miss this? I worry about that. I worry that we long and love things more than we love. Listen, than we love gathering together and hearing the Word of God preached for us to pray together. Do you love other things more than that? You know, when you read verses 3 through 5, you see that He knows His children. He says, you guys are stiff-necked. You're hard-headed. You're hard-hearted. I've told you this. How many times has God said, you do this, this is what's going to happen. And what do we do? We do. Listen, there's one thing that I've learned in 31 years of ministry. People absolutely are going to do what's in their heart. Period. And it's going to come out. And He tells them, I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to tell you, but you're gonna do what you want to do anyways. But He doesn't stay silent, because that is what a good dad does, is he points it out to his children. He doesn't just sit back and close his mouth and close his ears and close his eyes and goes on with life. He never stops. He never stops loving, and He never stops correcting. That's a good dad. So we see the first five verses, the children are stubborn. And you guys, we have it on camera. All of y'all raised your hand. So we have it. The camera can't see Rick, Kim, and Alan, but they all raised their hand. But so we all admit to that. So let's go to the second one. Then we see this part that is so beautiful. We see His patience with His children. Even though they're obstinate, stubborn, hard-headed. He's so patient. And praise the Lord. Verse 6 through 11. Let's read it. This is what it says. You have heard. You see all of this. And will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, and before this day you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. Oh my goodness. Listen, I could preach all day long on, of course I know. I cannot tell you how many times I have sat in a counseling session and said, you're supposed to do this. And I know. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard, I know. And my next question is, well, if you know, then why aren't you doing it? Do you know why you're not doing it? It's because you really don't know. I know. That's what it's saying. That's what this is in the complex Hebrew. That's what this is saying. Lest you should say, of course I knew them. Surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely from long ago your ears was not open. Your ear was not open. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously. I knew this. And look at this next. And were called a transgressor from what? The womb. I knew you were going to be like this. I knew you were going to act treacherously. And from the womb, you've been transgressing. And then 9, 10, 11, which is one of the most beautiful three verses in all of Isaiah. And overwhelming. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger. And for my praise, I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not like silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I've brought hardship on you. So you'll listen to me. That's what he's saying. I'm going to make it. I'm doing this for you to listen to me. For my own sake. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. I'm not going to give it to anybody else. Oh boy. What a patient father. I read these verses, and there's other passages in Scripture. There's other moments as we go through Scripture that I think to myself, and this is one of them, that I think, what if Israel would have repented right now? What would have happened if they would have, because this was before the Babylonians even came, this is before they attacked Jerusalem. So this is, we're talking at least 100 years away. Okay? What if they would have they're in Judah right now. They're in Jerusalem. What if they would have repented and said, we're hard-headed, we're stiff-necked, God is right, We've done everything our own way, and He has saved us over and over. He's done this. He showed us. I mean, remember, this is on the heels of 180 Assyrians slain overnight. This is Him restoring and protecting when the Assyrians wiped through the known earth at that time. That He saved them. Then He added 15 more years to a great and wonderful king. Not perfect, but wonderful ruler. They've had prosperity. They've had wealth. What if they said, man, He's right. We've messed up. And it's us. What would have happened? What would the story have looked like if they would have heard this message from 48? What would chapter 49 look like? And 50? And 51? Would it have been another example of the Ninevites? When they repented and God relented, and they had 100 years, but yet they went right back into everything else. God's looking at them in their eyes. It's our Lord, our Heavenly Father, stooping and holding His child's face in His hands and saying, look me in the eyes. Here, I want you to hear my words. I know you, and I know what you're going to do. But I want you to hear this. I want you to hear what I'm going to do. And we get 9, 10, and 11. Glory, right? I'm going to do this for my name, for who I am. I'm doing this. I'm doing this work. He's calling for them to give Him an answer. He's saying, would you admit that I'm right? Just say out of your mouth, I'm right. Listen to me. Listen, believer. This is a principle we need to talk about right here in this verse. If you cannot say you're wrong, you have big issues in your life. First, if you cannot say, God, like Psalm 51, I have sinned against you and you only. If you can't say that first, and secondly, look around you at your family and friends, and adult children, aunts, uncles, and say, I'm wrong. You've got deep spiritual issues. God is looking them in the eyes. He's calling for them to answer. He's talking to them and saying, I know you. I know who you are. You're mine. I even know what you're going to do. And I'm asking you to say, Dad, you're right. I'm asking you to listen to me and not listen to you. To follow me and not follow you. I'm asking you to bear witness to me. You've seen all of this stuff. How can you not tell the world? That's what it says. And you know what their answer is? Dead eye to eye. Do you know what their answer is? Nope. I'm going to do it my way. And they're going to Babylon. They're heading to Babylon. And guess what? they're going to love Babylon. Let me tell you, I'm going to stop right now because we need to talk. There's so much in this chapter. We're not. But you, parents, are going to raise kids that you're going to tell them the truth, and they are going to rather be in Babylon than live in the holy city. Do you hear me? And it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt you and break you. And it should. And we have done the same to our Lord. Every one of us. We have chosen the things of this world over our God. Over our Father. Let's do it right. And we have lived by our own rule. New thing. We see in this 6 through 11, we see the words new and hidden things. There's a lot of ink that's been written on this in verse 6. I can't help but think this new thing, this thing that you don't understand, I cannot help but think it's about the grace of God. He's saying, you don't get it. You don't understand how much I love you and how much I'm going to do, that I'm going to do this work in your life and I'm going to make this happen. And I'm going to see to this. Regardless of your stubbornness, I'm going to do this. That cannot be anything but grace. It can't. We can pull verse 6 out and look at it by itself, but in its context, it's got to be grace. It's got to be grace that Isaiah is saying, that the Lord's saying through Isaiah to his people. In verse 9 through 11, the Lord will not totally destroy us or his people. And not only will he not totally destroy us and wipe us out, but he's going to fulfill, he's going to use us for his purpose. Amen? Lord, it is exactly what Ephesians chapter 2 says. It is Ephesians chapter 2 over. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, our flesh, in the lust of our flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You're just like everybody else, but God. Amen? Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show. He's done this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Verse 7. He's done all of this work that in the ages to come that he might show the excellent riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we need to run around. I meant, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. You hadn't done it. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing. I'm confident in this one thing is what Paul's saying. That He who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord. Believe it or not, that's one of my points. I wrote, thank you, Lord. Like I was going to forget that point. I did. I wasn't going to forget it. I just wanted to have credit for it. God, thank you for your patience with disobedient children. I know some of you are struggling and fighting. And part of your fight is against God. It's against your Father. You're fighting against your Father. I remember, and I'm going to share it, and I'll have to just ask for forgiveness later. I remember Calvin struggling so badly and coming to me and just mad and weeping and just angry. And I was like, son, you're not fighting against me. You're fighting against God. You don't have to fight. You have to repent and follow. And I'm saying this because everyone in here knows exactly what I'm talking about. You're not fighting. And He is so patient. He is so patient. He says in this passage, He's not going to wipe us out. Amen? And He is going to refine us, but not like silver. He's going to refine us through struggles. And you know what? He is going to load your little red wagon up. And do you want me to tell you a secret? I'm going to give you a secret to help you today. He's going to load your wagon so loaded it's going to break down. So that you turn to Him. He's going to break it down. So that you turn to Him. And He's going to be patient. Because He loves you. Guys, He loves you. And He's not going to let you stay in your same opinion of mine. Some of you think y'all are so smart. Some of you think you're so strong. He's going to break you down for His glory. Okay, we can do this in 2 minutes. His hand, He will providentially lead His children. In 12 through 15, it says this, "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first, and I am also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I called to them, they stand up." God's saying, listen, you're stubborn, you're hard-headed, and I've done all this. And when I call to creation, it listens. But you don't. All of you, assemble yourself and hear. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him, and he shall do his pleasures on Babylon. I'm going to do what's right to Babylon, and I'm going to do what's right, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him, and I have brought him, and his way will prosper. So he starts out very quickly. He's saying, I am. And he's using the very words out of Exodus chapter 3 when Moses says, who shall I tell my people? Who should I tell them? Who sent me? What is your name? And he says, I am. So when the prophet is saying this and using this very holy word, they all get it. Everybody in the assembly gets it. I am. And then what he's saying is he alone is God, the only true and living God. From the beginning to the end, he is the same. He's always been the same. He has established the earth. He's laid the foundations. He's stretched it, spread it. Some of your translations say he has spread it, which is great. He is the creator and the sustainer. And this is the point of this section. He has a plan. Trust him. Do not trust you. Stop trusting you. Trust him, right? All right, last point. 16 through 22. Come near to me and hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. And now the Lord God and His Holy Spirit have sent me. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Your Redeemer. Right? This is what the Lord's saying to His peoples. He's saying, listen, the Holy Spirit's come, and this is what He's saying. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you have heeded my commands. Then your peace would have been like a river. Man, that goes back to the first question that I asked. What if they would have repented? Here it is, right here. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. I meant just coming. Your descendants also should have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Verse 20. Go forth from Babylon, meaning leave it. Don't take on this spirit. Flee from the Chaldeans. Don't live like them. Walk with a voice of singing. Declare, proclaim His name. Utter to the ends of the earth, saying, the Lord has redeemed His servant Jacob. And they did not thirst when He led them through the desert. Listen, He's not saying I'm going to keep you from it. He's saying, listen, they praised me through it all. Amen? Through the desert they sang. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. And He also split the rock and the waters gushed out. Verse 22 is very important and we'll close. There should be a but there, but there's not. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Our God is going to save His people. So, all of that to say, there's a few things we need to close on. This is it. It is essential for you, and you have it in your notes. It is essential for us to understand that God is zealous for His name, for His glory. He's going to do it. The issue is, how much pain is it going to be for His children? How many times are y'all going to the woodshed? So His glory is going to be formed in you and I. So the question is, how much are we going to surrender? Okay? That's the question. It's going to happen. That's the first point. The second point is, His glory is going to be known to the ends of the earth through you. Through you. Number three, I want us to ask our Father to work in our lives. Today, this morning, I want to ask the Lord to work in our lives, to give us a similar zeal for His glory like He has for His glory. Amen? That we will love Him and be passionate and zealous for His glory as God is. Because God is going to protect His name. Number four. Please, please realize, please believe that you're stubborn. Please, please know that. Please know that you're hard-hearted. Please, guys, please run to Him and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I thought I knew and I didn't. Matter of fact, I don't know anything. I've messed up everything. Please, guys, please. And last is we should rejoice. Because He has redeemed us. Amen? He has redeemed us. He is redeeming us. And He is going to redeem us. Amen? Okay. Guys, let's pray. I know we're running late. Thank you for your patience. Let's pray. And then we'll be dismissed. I brought my little card right here. I'm ready. Because at the end, I'm going to read Jude 24 and 25. But let's pray. Father, thank you for Maggie and Leo, for you calling them to this place, for their love for you, for their love for their family, and for their love for your body, your church, your people. Lord, bless their marriage, strengthen them, encourage them, grow them in their faith, Lord. Lord, as they minister to us, may we minister to them. May we walk together in this world, protect them, provide for them, do a work in their lives. Lord, thank you for Isaiah 48, for the truth that is found in that chapter. Stir in us deeply, Lord, as we even said in the covenant, Lord, that we will be zealous for your kingdom. We've made a covenant. We're in covenant with each other that we will pursue your kingdom more than anything else we pursue. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. As the word says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.